Thank you, thank you.
Well, God bless you and welcome to another wonderful teaching of God's Word. I'd like to send love and greetings to all those that are listening on the CD. We are so privileged and thankful to be a part of God's family with you. And I think you'll find the topic this morning that we're going to look into very enlightening and perhaps illuminating. And those are hints. Does anybody know, can you tell me, the first recorded words of God in the Bible? Genesis 1:3. God said, "Let there be light." That's significant. And then he saw it and it was good. And scientists, as you know, have observed light. They've endeavored to analyze light, to categorize it, to define it. They've even measured how fast it moves. And I did a little research. So all of you scientists and mathematicians and fifth graders, you're going to have to forgive me because I did the best I could on this, but light travels very, 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 very quickly. It travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's fast. Now, you think about how fast people travel on Highway 8, okay, and the freeways around here, right? I mean, sometimes that seems pretty fast, but light travels at 671 million miles per hour. Is that not amazing? Now, according to my calculations, according to my research, the circumference of the Earth is approximately 24,901 miles, okay? So light will travel around the Earth seven times plus in 1 second. So as we know, God is light. You know, so when you call on God, how quickly do you think you're going to get an answer? Nothing in the universe travels faster than light. And if you've ever heard, now many of us who live here in San Diego and have never lived anywhere else, you may not have experienced a thunderstorm. Some of you have, like Grace in Kansas. Now, as you know, what happens oftentimes in a thunderstorm? You'll see the flash, and then you listen, and you wait, and then you hear the thunder. Okay, so light travels faster than sound. It's so cool to look into these things. Light, okay, we can know some more things about light. Light is it's a form of energy, right? And you guys have probably studied how plants grow in school, right? Photosynthesis, does that sound familiar? It's a process whereby plants grow. They're energized by light. And plants seek the sun. Have you ever seen one of those clips where the plant where it's not done in real time, but it's sped up, so you see the plant just, you know, open and bloom? Well, plants turn toward the sun and they open and they grow because of the sun, and they bear fruit. Plants struggle for light. Maybe you've seen plants in your garden that have been crowded out by weeds, so you get out there and yank the weeds out, right? But they struggle for the light. And maybe you've seen things on TV where these real, real deep water fish, they're kind of creepy, you know, but there's really no light when you get 3,000 miles down or however far. Must be feet, huh? 3,000 feet. I told you. But fish have adapted to the light, where they've developed this thing called bioluminescence, they can produce this eerie kind of light. Or maybe you've seen nocturnal creatures, right, where these little animals, these cute little furry animals, have these big, gigantic eyes. Why? Why do they develop that way? You know, they're seeking the light. They want to see. So to live and to function effectively, everybody and everybody and everything needs light. It's important to sustain life. Light energizes and it vitalizes. And in the physical realm, as well as the spiritual realm, because of light, things are revealed. So we're going to take a look at what God's Word says about light and about the effects of light. And I can tell you four things which probably come to your minds as well. First of all, of course, God is light. When Jesus Christ was in the world, he was the light of the world. He said that, and we'll take a look at that. God's Word gives light. And then, of course, we are the lights of the world, and we are to walk as children of light. So let's take a look at 1 John. And we'll go to the scriptures and allow the scriptures to speak for themselves. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." And what is that? That God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Now, does that leave room for just a little bit of darkness? Just a little tiny, teeny, itty-bitty little bit of darkness? No. In God, there is no darkness at all. In verse 6, it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Now let's take a look at Psalms. We're going to take a look at a few Psalms because, it's a very exciting topic to study in the Word. If you ever are just looking for something to take a look at, just start looking up all the verses that have light in them, and you will be delighted. You will. I just made that up. Okay, in Psalm 18, it says in verse 28, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Okay, we know there's no darkness in God whatsoever, but there is darkness in this world. And God will enlighten our darkness. You see, we never need to walk in darkness or tolerate it in any way, shape, or form. Let's look at Psalm 27. And it says in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You see, there's never any reason to fear, because God enlightens our darkness, the darkness that's in the world. We allow his word to enlighten our minds, and we have nothing to fear, nothing whatsoever, ever, ever, ever. In Psalm 119, a wonderful, wonderful psalm. If you find yourself kind of muddling around and feeling like things aren't very clear, what do you do? What's a good thing to do? Turn on the light. Turn on the light, yeah. That's exactly right. And you know, the thing about light and darkness, if you're in a dark room, okay, that's all you have to do is turn on the light. If you're in a light room, you can't turn on the dark, because the darkness can't exist. It can't exist at the same time in the same place. If the room's full of light, you don't have to take a shovel and start shoveling in the darkness. It just doesn't work that way. We turn on the light and the darkness flees, and it's the same way with the Word of God. Here it says in verse 130, 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I mean, how simple is that, honestly? I was speaking with someone this morning, and we were talking about just taking one verse and just put it in your mind. If you have things that are troubling you, or you're in a situation that's challenging, just take one verse, put it in your mind. You put it in your mind, you think about it, then you think about God, you think about the verse, you think about, and pretty soon the darkness is gone. Let's look at verse 105 of Psalm 119. I'm so glad and thankful that God just made it so simple. In verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So do we ever need to be stumbling around? No, God's word is a light to our path. God's word provides that. Well, let's look at the alternative in Proverbs 4. Because we do have a choice in this life, how we are going to walk, and really the more you take a look at God's word, the simpler it becomes. The choice is not a hard one. It really isn't. I mean, the world will try to, you know, as we heard in manifestations, be pressured or be lured by pleasures, but those are just, it's smoke and mirrors. It's not true. It's all a part of the darkness of things. It's the light that giveth life, light and understanding. In Proverbs 4 and verse 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Just don't even go there. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Have you ever been in a dark room? Maybe you get up in the middle of the night to go get a drink of water or something, and oh darn it, you know, somebody moved that piece of furniture. That's what happens when you're in darkness. You don't even know what you're stumbling over. And what happens with that? Well, injury. You can get hurt. So we just simply don't walk in darkness. We turn on the light. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And that's what we continue to do day by day by day. God has just made it so simple and so wonderful and so easy for all of us, every single one of us. Now, let's take a look at John 12, because as I mentioned and as we know, Jesus Christ, when he came to the world, he was in some dark and dire situations. But he declared of himself that he was the light of the world. In John chapter 12, and in verse 35, it says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. People wander aimlessly. They just wander in circles in this world. They just don't even know where they're going, but they want to know where they're going. Verse 36, while ye have light, believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and he did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. It's remarkable that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes. And actually the way that should read is, their eyes were blinded, and their hearts were hardened, their hearts were darkened, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and repent or be converted, and I should heal them. Who did that? Yeah, Prince of Darkness. Have you ever heard of that one? Verse 41, these things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. It's just really something. And we encounter that today as well. But you know what? You walk with the Spirit of God in you. And as you walk in this world and you reach out to those hearts of people and God works within you, he can show you and reveal to you who is hungry, who you need to spend time with, whose hearts are just crying out and reaching out like trying to find the light. And then you can give it to them. It's really just so, so, so simple. Because it's God working in you. Let's look at John 3, a few chapters back. And I think everyone in this room, every single person, everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, can say, God is light. Can everyone say that? I'd like to hear all the children say that. Can you say, God is light? Let's hear you. Yes, that's beautiful. That sounds like music to my ears. And you know, you can tell your friends that. And that will make them happy. In John 3, in verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned," or it should read judged, "but he that believeth not is judged already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And I think that would be the only reason a person would love darkness more than light, because their deeds are evil. "For if everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God." You see, light reveals, darkness conceals. There were a few of us that were over at Jan and Glenn's house about a week ago, and as we were leaving, something really interesting happened. And it has to do with insects. Okay, now everybody's seen moths that are drawn to a light. Have you ever seen that? You know, I read somewhere that moths can detect light like 300 feet away, and they go for it, and then they fly around it and fly around it. Okay. Well, there's another type of insect that we observed over at the Majeras home. It was just really astounding. We walked out the front door, and they have motion sensor lights. So the light went on, and right at this place where it went on, it just illuminated this beautiful spider web. And right in the middle of it was this spider, big spider. And we went, whoa, okay. So we walked toward it because we had to walk past it to leave. And as we were standing there looking at the spider, and it felt the light, and it, I don't know if it realized we were there, but it just started systematically going up and down on this web that it had woven. Why do spiders weave a web? Right, to capture, right? This spider just started going up and down this web and gathering it as it went. So within about, what do you say, maybe 20 seconds, 30 seconds, this spider had traveled all over the web, which was just completely illuminated in this bright light, and gathered the whole entire web up and just kind of skittered off, or whatever spiders do. You know, that spider had a web there. It had a goal. It had a purpose. That's what they do. They catch prey, and then they, whatever they do to them, eat them. But with the light behind it, it did not want to be revealed. It wanted to be concealed in the darkness so that it could catch that prey. Right? Wasn't that cool? So it's light that reveals, and that's what we want. We want light. And people will come to the light, and they will come to you. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes people are just, they're drawn to you. And oftentimes when people, you know, maybe will come to a fellowship or they'll get involved in the Word, and later you hear them say, I don't know what it was about you, but something just drew me to you. And you know what it is. It's the light of God. It's the light of truth. It's the light of God's Word. It's Christ in you. And it draws people. Okay, let's look at John 8. We'll look at a few more here. Because the Word of God is just so exciting. And it just makes things so clear and so simple. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So is it important for us to declare the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ to people? Well, think about the darkness that you were rescued out of. I can remember that. And what a joy and a privilege. Let's look at Matthew in chapter 5. This may sound familiar to many of you as we get into it. In verse 14, it says, Jesus Christ speaking, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Why would anybody build a city on a hill? So that it could be seen, right? You wouldn't build a city on a hill so that it could be hid. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No, right? But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, you picture this. Try to imagine this, because, you know, we're so accustomed to electricity and light everywhere that we go, you know. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, isn't that the city that never sleeps? Is that why? Because of all the light, you can't get any sleep. Picture back in the time that the Bible was written, right? There's no street lights. There's no electricity. Light only is by fire, by torchlight, or by campfire. So you get into your home at night, you know, it's getting darker and darker and darker and darker. And eventually it would get so dark, it would be totally dark. And what would happen is that you would either go to bed and go to sleep, or you would walk around and stumble in the darkness. So you light a candle. Or you light an oil lamp. Have you seen on Jan's books, you know, that beautiful little oil lamp that they would use? And it would enlighten the darkness. And so they would not light it and then put it under something so nobody could see it. They would put it out in the room on a candlestick so people would have light. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. Right? No. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's all for the glory of God, because, my gosh, we've been rescued out of darkness. Aren't we just overflowing with thankfulness in our hearts that we declare the greatness of God, that God is awesome, God is light. In 2 Corinthians, let's take a little look at that in chapter 4. It's that great good news of God, you know? I mean, don't we have such an exciting message to deliver? It's not like we're going to, you know, approach people that are in this great state of need and just tell them something that's really going to just depress them. You know, we have the light of truth, the light of God's word, the light of love, of life. And in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, we really have a ministry. We have a purpose. We have a calling. In chapter 4, verse 1, 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We have authority and power with the words of God that we speak. We have every right, we have a privilege to walk in this world as ambassadors for Christ. And although the God of this world can blind the eyes of those that don't believe, we can speak words of truth and they can be delivered, they can be healed, they can get Christ in them, they can walk with power, and then they can help others. In verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," let there be light, "hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We have that. Isn't God so good and so gracious towards us? Why would we ever hesitate to share that with other people, to share that with each other? What a family that we have. What a love that we have for each other. A few more in Ephesians. We've got to go to Ephesians if we're going to talk about light and illumination and understanding. Ephesians 5. In verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Go down to verse 8. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Don't do it. Oh, gosh. "But rather reprove them." How do you reprove the unfruitful works of darkness? The word. That's right. Speak the word. Because light reveals, darkness conceals, right? "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Let's look in Romans 13. Keep your finger in Ephesians if you can. We'll be back there to close up. Romans 13. Verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." What is the armor of light? The armor of God. What is the armor of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Keep reading. We'll see it. Verse 13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Those are activities of darkness. That's not us. Verse 14, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of God. which would be, of course, in Ephesians 6. And we'll take a look at that. In verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have everything that we need to walk in this world. But you see, without the word of God and the light of God, we stumble in darkness. We could do that from day to day. Oh, today I'm going to walk in light, or I'm going to walk in darkness. You know, walk a plain path, stumble. You know, but we don't want to live that way, and that's not what God has called us to do. And we shouldn't let each other live that way. To ignore the light, because you can avoid it. That is to bring upon yourself weakness. You're just going to bring weakness to yourself. Because a lack of light will stunt your growth, right? Just like with plants. It's like the effect of being in a dark, dark room. Have you ever done that? You're in a really, really dark, dark room, or maybe in a movie theater. And then you walk into a bright room and it's like, ah, you know, your eyes have to adjust to the light. Well, just don't ever step out of the light. Don't step into the darkness. And remember that people that you speak to may have been in darkness for a long, long time. So just ask God, what do they need to hear? What is the word that they need to hear to minister to their heart? And then you just keep giving it to them. And their eyes become adjusted to the light until they're ready for just the full-on sunshine. See, there can't be any genuine fruit without the light of God and his word, because there's no growth. And as we know, you cannot fake the fruit. To walk in the light is to have everything open and exposed to God. Oh, no, see, there's no fear in love. There's no fear in God. We by our own free will, walk in the light. We open and expose ourselves to God, who is light, who is love, who is our sufficiency in everything, who withholds no good thing from us, who energizes us, who heals us. You see, that's how we want to walk, right, and live? Darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. Hollywood glorifies it, right? But how do you get rid of the darkness? So well put, Al. Turn on the light. How do you avoid the light? Okay, how do you avoid the light? Ooh, well, you could, like, avoid coming to fellowship, maybe? To a fellowship where you're going to hear the greatness of God's word. You could stop fellowshipping with people who are reflecting the light. Because as you absorb the light, you're going to reflect the light. You're going to speak the light. You could avoid. If you find someone's avoiding you, you know, go hunt them down. And sit them down and share the word with them. We could also stop reading the word, which can be very confronting if you're walking in darkness, right? But we don't want to do that. There's always excuses to not read the word. Oh, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I'm too much in condemnation. So you go to the word. Because all that is deception. Darkness, deception, you know. Light is a thing that exposes, and darkness covers up. It covers up. If you try to conceal your weakness or your guilt or your sin or your self-condemnation, right? Will it still be there? Yes. But then you'll be isolated in the dark with all those things that you don't want and that God doesn't want for you. So we walk in the light, and that's where we see the genuine healing, the power, the fruit. And that's what we do. We read the word, and then we reflect the word. So this week, let's let this be a great week of, you know, walking in the light. Be a beacon for people in this dark world, right? Spiritually, we see that. In this dark world, just be a beacon that's shining so bright, like a lighthouse, right? Imagine a boisterous sea, imagine a stormy sea, and there's a ship that's desperately trying to reach land, but there's no light. They're just tossed around, tossed to and fro. No light. I mean, you know, in fear of dying. There's impending disaster. Just imagine it, you know, the perfect storm. Remember that movie? But then there's a lighthouse, a beacon, a lighthouse that's shining for this ship to come and find safe harbor. What about the harbor of God's love, the harbor of the family of God? So that's what I want to do this week. I mean, I really want to be mindful. We get busy with work. We get busy with school, all the different activities and responsibilities that we have. But just if you can just remember this one thing, that you're a beacon of light. You know, not just like a little glimmer, a little spark or something. You are a beacon of light in this world. And just remember that. And then just watch the people that are drawn to you. And then have words of life to give to them. And then bring them to fellowship next Sunday. Okay? All right, God bless you. I love you. Mwah. And before we close, Rachel's going to sing a song for us. So,
well, I'm actually going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, and it'd be awesome if you guys want to sing along too and just give praise to God for the light and for the love and for being able to come before Him just as we are, freely and without reservation. And just be in His presence and love Him and be loved by Him. So, great is Thy faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions. They fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hands have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth, Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hands have have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Love you guys.
Love you. Have a great week.
Refreshments.